Now, everyone has their eyes on NASA this morning. This is after the Antares rocket exploded at the Wallops Island Flight Facility in Virginia last night. No one was injured in the blast, but an investigation into the explosion begins immediately. So what does this mean for NASA's mission going forward? Marcia Smith is the editor of SpacePolicyOnline.com. She joins me now with details. Marcia, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so what do we know about this explosion? Apparently there was a self-destruction order given. What do we know that actually happened there?
Well, at the press conference last night, what they said was that about 10 seconds after liftoff, they noticed that there was a problem with a rocket. And at about 20 seconds, they sent the range safety destruct signal. So something did go wrong with the rocket.
Just a technical question. If something goes wrong with the rocket, why do you have to send a self-destruct signal? Wouldn't it destruct anyway?
Well, no, because it might fly over land. It might go in the wrong direction. So you don't want it going astray. You want it to sort of fail wherever it is. In this case, it was mostly on the beach, but also over the water. So you don't want it flying towards a populated area.
Oh, so it could have gone 5 or 10 miles and then crashed or something, and then you could have had a disaster.
Yes, or you could have had debris. If it exploded in the air, the debris could have fallen on populated areas.
And so this is something that's built into pretty much everything that lifts off towards space?
As far as I know, yes.
All right. Tell us about the technology here. This is not the latest and greatest stuff that's going to be used to ferry the astronauts themselves later on. This is a cargo ship, correct? And it uses older engines?
Yes, this is a rocket that didn't have anybody aboard, and nobody was injured in the accident. So that's the really good news. This particular rocket that's designed by Orbital Sciences Corporation uses two engines that started their lives as part of the Soviet space program back in the 1970s. The rockets then were called NK-33s, and they were designed for a rocket that the Soviets were going to use to send cosmonauts to the moon. They canceled that program, and of course, the Soviets never did send anyone to the moon. But the rockets were put in a warehouse, and an American company, Aerojet, bought about 40 of them some years ago and brought them to the United States and refurbished them. So they have been through extensive testing, and what Orbital representatives were saying last night was that these engines, there are two of them on the rocket, had passed all the flight tests.
So these are not new copies of old technology, but they're old copies of old technology.
They're refurbished old engines.
So when you refurbish an engine, though, are there standards that NASA imposes? Do they inspect them? I mean, is there some process to make sure that they are up to whatever NASA would have as a standard if they were doing it themselves?
Well, in this particular case, NASA is buying a service from Orbital, and SpaceX is the other company that provides this kind of service. And so NASA gives them their requirements. We need you to take so many tons of cargo up to the space station this often, and we're going to pay you this much money to do it. And then it's really up to the companies to decide what the particular design of a rocket is. So Orbital, their incentive is to have a rocket that works, not only for this NASA mission, but they want to bring in other customers. So they're providing a service.
And so far, those engines have worked, though.
Yes, so far. There have been, I think, four other launches of the Antares rocket, and they've all been successful. And Orbital said last night that these particular engines had successfully gone through all the tests that they require before they are certified ready for launch.
And these are engines that are only used once?
Yes, they are.
So you said there were 40 of them purchased. Is there one used per launch or multiple ones?
There are two of the engines on each of these Antares rockets.
And so what was the plan for when they run out of the 40 that they had?
Well, Orbital was looking at what alternatives they had. There are only so many rocket engines capable of producing a certain amount of thrust in order to get a rocket carrying so much weight up to low Earth orbit. But there are some options, and they were looking at what to do for the future.
And so, well, now they're two closer to the future, but one less launch to the future. So it seems like this would kind of speed up the urgency of finding that replacement for when they do run out.
Well, they haven't determined that the engines were the cause of the failure. They have to do an intensive investigation to find out exactly what went wrong. And because it happened so soon after liftoff, I think a lot of people are assuming that it must have been the first stage engines, but they have not actually determined that yet.
And there's a second stage engine that was something new that was underneath there, eventually to fire, or I guess up above it, rather.
It's up above it, that's right. So the first stage usually burns out, and then the second stage takes it the rest of the way to orbit, and that's a different kind of rocket. and with different kind of fuel, and that didn't probably have a chance to fire.
So, but is it possible, I'm not asking you to speculate yes or no, but is it within the realm of possibility that it was the second stage that had a problem?
Well, it would seem very unlikely.
Or could it have been something in the circuitry that serves the whole craft?
Yeah, I just really don't want to speculate. It might have been they need to do the investigation to find out.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what the outer limits of the possibilities are without speculating, guessing what it might have been. But it sounds like there are a lot of possible causes.
There are a lot of things that can go wrong in a rocket.
And so, okay. All right. So now NASA is saying that Orbital Sciences and Orbital itself is saying it's going to lead the investigation into this since it was their rocket. And as you say, they were providing a service. What is NASA's role here now?
Well, NASA and the FAA will be working with Orbital on the investigation, but Orbital has the lead. These kinds of rockets, these commercial rockets, are actually regulated by the FAA, which has an Office of Commercial Space Transportation. So the FAA will be very deeply involved, and NASA as the customer, and this did happen at a NASA launch facility, will be deeply involved.
But in the federal government, where is the locus of expertise on these things? For example, when a plane crashes, just to make an analogy, the National Transportation Safety Administration knows what there is to know about plane crashes, and they're always learning from new ones. Is the FAA the rocket expert, or is it NASA?
Well, the FAA does have a lot of expertise about rockets because they've been regulating the industry since the 1980s. And NASA has a lot of technical expertise. The NTSB could also be involved. They were saying last night that the NTSB decided that it would have only a secondary role in this investigation. So they've made the determination, I guess, that they don't need to be the lead on it, and that's why Orbital is the lead.
We're speaking with Marcia Smith. She's the editor of SpacePolicyOnline.com and also president of the Space and Technology Policy Group. So NASA is saying this is not going to alter their policy or their strategy of using commercial service providers, both for the space station of moving stuff and eventually moving people. Is that likely to be the case?
Well, I think that there has been some skepticism about these public-private partnerships for commercial cargo and commercial crew. The commercial cargo program has been very successful until now, and I think one of the reasons people were a little concerned about it was from the business standpoint, not so much the technical standpoint, because rockets do fail, and so I think there's sort of been an assumption in the back of people's minds that there would be a failure at some point. And the question then really is, from a business standpoint, who bears the costs of the loss? Who has to pay to build a replacement rocket and spacecraft? Who pays for the cost of the cleanup and all of that? Does the government pay that, or does Orbital have to basically eat those costs? And that is all part of this commercial model that NASA is moving to, and I think that it's going to be very interesting to watch that.
But wouldn't that possibility and the decision of who it is that does pay or if they share the costs, wouldn't that be part of their service level agreement in the first place?
NASA was asked that question last night at the press conference, and they gave a very vague answer about who was going to pay these costs. Strictly speaking, it's a fixed-price contract for Orbital to deliver a certain amount of tonnage of cargo to the space station over a certain period of time through 2016. And so, looking at it at that level, it would appear that since this 5,000 pounds of cargo didn't get to the space station, that Orbital is now going to have to arrange on its own to replace that tonnage. But NASA did not make that very clear statement. They said that they would be working with Orbital on this. So I think that that's one of the questions that people are going to have going forward.
And what is the value of all of this? Do we know?
Well, the rocket and the spacecraft were about $200 million, but I don't know the cost of the cargo that was aboard.
Because there's everything from fish, to crab cakes, to experimental materials and equipment we can't calculate the value externally.
That's right. So there were some experiments, some student experiments, which probably were not much of a financial value, but were obviously very important to those students. But there was also replacement equipment and other sorts of supplies that the space station crew were hoping to get. Now, there are other cargo spacecraft that go up to the space station, so it's not really a terrible loss for them. And, in fact, Russia launched one of its cargo spacecraft overnight, and it should be docking with the space station around 9 o'clock this morning, East Coast time.
So that was a coincidence that they launched the same night?
Yes, it was already scheduled for it to happen that way. The orbital launch was supposed to have taken place a day earlier, but the launch was scrubbed because there was a sailboat out in the ocean within the restricted range. Because for range safety considerations, for exactly this kind of reason, they tell boats not to be in certain parts of the ocean and aircraft not to be in certain parts of the airspace.
And so what does this mean for a company like Orbital Sciences at this point?
I think that that's an interesting question. Orbital is in the middle of merging with ATK, and I think they were hoping to get that merger completed by the end of the year, although I heard it might slip early into next year. But whether this has any impact on those merger plans or, you know, the prices that they're going to be paying each other, I don't know the details of the merger. I think that's an interesting question.
And so what will they look at? What materials will they look at, Orbital and NASA and maybe NTSB, to try to determine the cause?
Well, they'll be looking at the telemetry that they are getting from the rocket. They'll be looking at imagery. There are many cameras trained on this, both NASA cameras and orbital cameras, as well as a lot of people who are just watching it, and a lot of them have posted their videos on YouTube. And then they'll be looking at the debris.
Because NASA said they would let the fire burn out overnight so that they could get near the thing in the morning. Instead of, is it better to do that than to put it out with firefighting equipment? Because it would seem like less debris would be left if you let it burn out.
Well, they did say last night they were going to let the fires burn themselves out, and I presume that they did that for safety considerations.
So do you expect that there would be some material, some debris left after burning for however long it burned?
Yes, I would certainly expect there to be quite a big debris field left.
All right. So what happens next after the it's the investigation. Any estimate of how long this could all take?
No, they really have to, you know, just start crunching all the data and looking at the debris and all of that. So I think it's going to be a fairly intensive investigation. How quickly they can return to flight, they're just not going to know until they find out what the root cause was and what it's going to take to fix it.
But the expected practice would be that Orbital could not launch again until they find the root cause.
They would not launch this kind of a rocket again.
All right. Marcia Smith is editor of SpacePolicyOnline.com and president of the Space and Technology Policy Group. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.